I love this planner. This planner is everything because it literally has everything in it. And I will be buying a 2025 planner because I don't know what I would do without this planner. I had always wanted a planner that had everything in here for me as a photographer. And Brittany has basically done that.
Hello, friends. My name is Brittany, and this is the Capture the Chaos podcast. Right now, your photography business probably looks like confetti on the floor after a birthday session, a bit of a mess. In this podcast, we talk about how you can be more productive and organize your business so you can start running your photography business in 15 hours a week or less. Today, I have with me Rachel of the Gold Biz podcast, which I love. And we just talked about how I love listening to her show. Rachel is a Wisconsin-based wedding photographer. She's a business coach and podcaster who has taught thousands of photographers over the years and has been able to establish an industry expertise in client experience and client connection. She is a bubbly type 7 Enneagram. She loves to bring positive and upbeat energy into the room as well as with her education. She makes everyone feel welcome, loved, and seen as a priority. And in person, she hosts retreats that have the ability to do that, which is why she thrives at teaching events. Hi, Rachel. I'm so glad you're here right now.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here. I'm very honored. It's just going to be fun. Fun time.
It's going to be a great time. So you're here and we are going to chat about the secret to booking premium clients. Okay. First of all, what is a premium client?
That's such a good question because I feel like everyone thinks premium clients are like, you have to be high-end luxury, fine art, you know, like the very luxury client, where premium client is kind of where it's just a client who, someone who values the photography experience and is willing to pay at a higher price to be able to receive that. And so, and everyone's premium client looks different. It doesn't have to fall into a box. Mine specifically looks like someone who either wants to have their closest family and friends and go for an adventure somewhere out of state, or even just have like their closest family and friends like at their backyard, like doing a backyard wedding, like low key wedding. But photography and the photos are the number one thing that they prioritize and the thing that they want to put the most investment into. And so it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be these big, elaborate weddings and these fine art things. Your premium client can look different. So it's just someone who values the photography experience and is willing to pay a higher price point.
I was poking around on your website the other day, and I saw that you have like the lead capture form on the website where they go to contact you, and you have some very unique questions on there. What is the purpose of, actually, let me go find it real quick because I want to read them out loud because they are.
I love that.
Okay. So on your contact form, you had a couple of kind of unique questions. One of them was, tell me about yourselves. I want to know all about your relationships, your hobbies, how do you meet, et cetera. And then you also ask, how do you envision your wedding day or your session to be? So I feel like those are like fun questions that you're vetting your clients with. Like, tell me what purpose does this serve?
I love this question because your contact form is almost like when someone fills out your contact form, that is the first point of contact. Like that's where the client experience with your clients starts for you. The client experience for your clients starts well before they even decide to go to your contact form. So that's a whole other thing. But the experience with you starts when they fill that form out. So I'm very intentional about the questions I ask on there. You don't want to ask too many because you don't want them to not fill out the form. You just want them to fill it out and get into your world, and then you can take control over the experience from there. But I'm also very intentional about the questions I ask because I like to really analyze each inquiry request that I get, analyze it so that I can create a custom response to it, because not everybody perceives love the same way. Not everybody has the same buyer type. Not everybody goes through this process the same. And so if I can really get that information from them and analyze it, then I know how I can respond to it that they're going to feel most connected. So I know a lot of people are like, oh, we just send our pricing right away. Well, some people might not need the pricing, or so they don't need it at this point. So like those two questions, the reason I ask those two questions specifically is so I can see how they answered. They're intentionally a little more open-ended because I want to see if they're just like, yep, we met on a dating app and that's it. Or our cousins introduced us, whatever. Or are they giving me like a long answer of like their entire proposal story? That way I pick up on like their big human need. For example, Tony Robbins has this, the six basic human needs or whatever. So if they're filling out a long answer for me and going into detail of their proposal story, all these things, I can probably assume that their basic human need is love and connection. Therefore, the way I'm responding to them, I can connect, show them love on what they have opened up to me on, and they're going to feel connected. If they're just like, you know, met online, just looking for prices, whatever, I can kind of assume that maybe they are just someone who values certainty. They want to know what's in it for them. They want to know the prices. They want to be more straightforward. That's someone who I'd maybe just send prices to. Where the love and connection person might be someone that, okay, I'm going to not send pricing right away. I'm going to get them on a phone call first right away. I'm going to talk about what package options they're wanting, create like a custom proposal for them. So it also like the question, the reason I ask those specific questions is so that I can analyze it and respond accordingly. And that also helps speak into attracting and booking more premium clients too, because you're showing them that love and connection in a way that they perceive it. And it's just, they're perceiving more love from you.
You're kind of like customizing your client experience to what your clients need, which, you know, not everyone wants like a really in-depth like phone call. Like if I were to contact you, I love your work. I will pay anything that you ask me to pay for you, but I do not want to get on a phone call. Please don't do that to me. Cause if you made me, I'd be like, no, we're done. We're done here.
Yeah,
so like you're able to kind of gauge what these people want. That's really smart. I like that. You're like a photographer psychologist.
Well, I love it. You can also like pick up too, like, are people more left brain thinking or are they more right brain thinking? If they do lean into more of that love and connection, you can probably assume that they're more right brain thinking. They're in that emotional, like emotionally connected, you know, mindset, versus if they're just coming to you for like pricing and they want to know, they value certainty. They want to know what they're going to get. They're left brain thinking, they're analytical. They want to know the numbers. I'm just going to go ahead and send them pricing because that's what they want. And they're going to appreciate that more versus someone else who like, maybe we can make that connection. And then if I do send the pricing and they do get on the phone call, then I know if they're more in the left brain analytical thinking, that just puts on me, I know that on that phone call, I need to do a little bit more belief shifting and help shift them into that emotionally driven mindset, because photography is such an emotionally connective service that we want someone more in that space, you know, because we're not just a transaction. We're not just another vendor. It's not just something buying. It's an emotional service. And so you want to take people to that right brain side thinking if they're not there. So it just helps me know and analyze how much belief shifting I need to be doing for them.
Mm-hmm. That's fascinating. How did you learn this? How did you learn all that?
Just like connecting, like how people think. I think people, the way people think, the way people perceive love, the way people buy, that is always like the psychology behind it, I guess.
Yeah.
It's always been so intriguing to me. And then learning things and be like, oh, that directly correlates with wedding photography and our services and how we do that. So it's just like piecing together like psychology and business and marketing and photography, just connecting it all.
The funny thing is I was an accidental psychology minor in college because you had to take, you know, so many credits and I just liked psychology so much that I was just taking all these credits. Like, well, you have a minor. I'm like, well, that's cool.
Beautiful.
I didn't mean to.
That's so funny. Yeah. So you get it. You understand.
So exactly. So back to kind of this premium client, like how to book these premium clients. Now, you did mention that it doesn't necessarily mean like the luxury experience. It doesn't mean like really like top tier, like in pricing. But I meet so many people who say that, or many photographers that say, I want to be affordable for everybody. So what do you have to say to those people?
Yeah. And it just depends like what your goals are, what you want out of your business. Are you looking to keep this a side thing? Or are you wanting to have this be your career, whatever it looks like? I like to kind of break it down into like two people. So if you can imagine like avatars, right? Like two people. One is, I call her the low budget photographer, and then the other is the premium photographer. So if you're someone who kind of maybe identifies with that lower budget photographer, maybe you're a great photographer. You've been in the industry a while, you have a little bit of experience, but maybe not a ton. But maybe you're also not experiencing like that success and income and business growth that you know you're capable of, and you are kind of scared to charge that. And all of these things, maybe you feel like you don't have the experience yet, all of these things. The premium photographer is someone who maybe does have that like established foundation background, having that marketing. So when you have that foundation and the set things set up on the business back end side, you can really shift your focus into like your marketing focus into just lead generation versus like building all of that stuff. And so I think if you can identify like the difference between the two, the biggest tip, like as you're shifting, there's so many things that you need to be doing in your business to shift you from that low budget photographer to that premium photographer. Something I like to talk about too with just premium clients, how to book them, is my premium client pyramid. And so if you think about it, it's just a pyramid and it's broken into like four compartments of things that you can kind of do to help you book more premium clients. The bottom level is, if you think about it in tiers, the bottom level is social media. A lot of people think that you just need to be marketing on social media. You need to be putting all of your marketing efforts and all of your time into social media, when I feel like that's where a lot of photographers stop and they cap themselves because they're looking there. When in reality, a lot of people might not even be on Instagram. So you need to even know where they are. So you're spending all this time into social media. They might not even be there. That next level tier up is like branding and copy. So that comes down to like your tone and your voice and how you're using your copy to really speak to premium clients. There's such a difference in tonality when you're using like your messaging, whether you're speaking to a lower budget client or you're speaking to a premium client. So there's a lot of shifts and stuff that you can go into that with that. And your branding too, your branding should directly like address all of like people's questions, and it should attract or repel, and it should, you know, we want to attract the more premium clients. That comes along with copy too. And then the next level up is obviously your website, making sure your website and just your whole online presence, like it's all a big funnel. And so making sure your website is clear, like we touched base on that contact form a little bit, the intention behind the contact form, because your intention, that's the first point, that initial response you send back to get when people even fill out your contact form, that's your first point of contact with your client. Again, client experience starts well before they even fill that out. They have to know and have all their questions answered by the time that they fill that out. But your website should essentially, the biggest goal is to funnel people to that contact form. So a lot goes into that. And then like the very top, the highest one, like I said, I love client experience. I love client connection. And so that very top one is going deeper. It's that client connection. It's what we just talked about, identifying and analyzing and customizing responses, looking into that psychology aspect of it, knowing people's buyer types, all of those things. And so when you can combine all four of those things, a lot of people just stop at social media. That's just going to all encompass kind of how to book more premium clients too. There is like a few mistakes that I see people making when they're wanting to book premium clients too, and that we can get into that too.
But yeah, please.
That's kind of a breakdown of that.
Okay. So what are these mistakes that people make when they're trying to book?
Yeah, I see a lot of mistakes because people do think like, oh, I am customizing the response by saying something like, oh, I've loved this venue. I've always wanted to shoot at this venue, or this is my favorite venue. You know, they're thinking, oh, I'm connecting with them because I've shot at this venue, or this is on my bucket list. So that's not connecting. You know what I mean? That's making it about you. That's not actually, you're not making those connection points. But number one, there's three mistakes that I'm going to just kind of cover here. Number one is that people are marketing in the wrong place. Like I spoke on, if you think that just stopping at social media, you're just going to be able to book all the premium clients and all, who knows, maybe your ideal clients are on Instagram, on social media, like absolutely. But also look to see where they are, because if you are, you know, marketing on Instagram and you're just like, yeah, I just keep getting these low budget clients. I can't. They are price shopping and they're looking for specific things. Maybe it's time to do, you know, analyze, well, where are these premium clients. Where are my ideal clients? Where are they coming from? Are they coming from wedding planners? Are they coming from Google? Are they coming from Pinterest? I know that SEO and Google has been my number one lead generator in the past like year. It's just serving me so well. And that's where I can kind of take a step back and be like, okay, I didn't post on social media for the past 2 weeks. It's fine because I still got 10 plus inquiries a week are coming in from Google, from Pinterest. And guess what? They're aligned premium clients because of the way I've set up my copy and my marketing and my funnels and all of that stuff. So I think you just really need to identify where your clients are and make sure that you're not putting too much energy into the wrong like marketing areas. And then mistake number two is not offering custom proposals. I know we talked briefly, like I just mentioned it, where people think, oh, I need to have set standard pricing packages. I need to have a pricing guide. I need to have all of these things and send it. But also knowing that, well, it might not meet people's needs. Also, like I said, we are a very emotionally connective service. And so by having set pricing all the time, not saying you shouldn't, because I have set standard pricing and then I have like where I'll do custom packages. I have both. It just depends on where people, like what tier people fall under based on the inquiry that they send to me. But by not offering the option to have like custom proposals, you could be turning away a ton of work, especially with the industry shift that I think that we have seen in the past year or two of people like not inquiring or not booking. Like people's conversion rates and booking rates are down, generally speaking, not everybody, generally speaking, I've been seeing it a lot. And I think offering the option to do custom proposals will absolutely change the game on that. Like, and I'm not saying like, oh, their budget's 2000. Okay, I'll do it for 2000. But there's ways and marketing strategies and the way you can position it in ways that, you know, that will expand people's minds. I've had clients come to me, inquiries, be like, yeah, I'm eloping here. I'm eloping in this national park. Our budget is $1,500 or whatever. And then through the process that I take them through with doing the custom proposal, just my whole like booking and onboarding phase and process that I use, it's called my inquiry to income method that I use. I have a course on it too. I was able to book them at like the highest wedding package I had ever booked at that point, like thus far, like, or like at to that point. So they came to me with a $1,500 budget and I think they ended up spending close to $7,000. So it's like, yeah. And so it's like, you can't discard, like you can't just look at people's budgets and be like, oh, they're not my ideal clients. That's another misconception that people think, is that they're not your ideal client or they're low budget clients. If they come to you on your contact form with a low budget, that means nothing. That means absolutely nothing. Take that number and put it out the window, because if you can, you know, take them on that journey, do that, you know, that belief shifting, educating them, showcasing the value. A lot of that's done, like I said, in that premium client pyramid with your website, with your branding, with your copy, with your social media. Are you using attraction marketing? And then that client connection, going through that whole system is going to help you that way. Mistake number three, too, is not speaking to all three buyer types. No, people don't buy the. So if you're only marketing and going through your system and going through your process and your workflow and your marketing that way to one type of buyer type, that's just eliminating you. So I like to like think about, okay, how am I speaking to and marketing to all three different buyer types? I kind of came up with three different buyer types that I have found coming to me, and I can usually take one and put them under one of these three categories. Number one is the realist. Like I said, they want the facts. They probably value certainty of that basic human need. They're probably left brain thinking. They're more analytical. They need to know exactly what is going to happen, how much it's going to cost, and what they're going to get from the experience. That is the realist. The realist needs the most belief shifting in the process. So making sure my content has a lot of belief shifting, a lot of that attraction marketing. The second one too is a connection buyer. So that's where it's like, okay, they maybe are left brain thinking, maybe they're right brain thinking. They can kind of be in the middle, but they're going to feel connect. They're going to buy from a place of connection. After I get them on the phone, after I talk to them, they're going to feel connected and they're going to be more interested in investing after we connect with them. And that's kind of like a middle ground. Number three is the dreamer buyer. Someone that comes to you and is like, I have been following you for years. I've had you picked out as my photographer since I was 16. Whatever you cost, I will pay. You know what I mean? So we all get I think all three types of buyers. And therefore, you know, a dreamer buyer, they're probably more of a hot lead. They'll take whatever you want. The realist is more of a cold lead, if you look at it that way. How can I shift them through? And then the connection buyer is more of a warm lead. They probably are going to be interested, but you need to help them over that hurdle. So that's a mistake that I see also people making, is they're just not speaking to all three buyer types. So I know that was a lot. Sorry.
Okay. Before, I'm going to have you kind of like recap that in a second, but you mentioned something that I think is kind of fascinating that I have been noticing a lot lately. So I've been a photographer for 15 years now, which is crazy. Okay. But only let's talk about like the last 5 or 6 years. Okay. So I know you focus mostly on weddings, right? And so during COVID, you had this really big shift, right? Like you guys could not take weddings, right? And so you had to pivot. And I guess probably what I'm guessing there's a lot more outdoor elopements that you had to deal with.
Yeah.
So, but family photographers, we could, you know, after the initial like lockdown and stuff like that, we were able to take clients outside.
Right.
And people had all the stimulus money and they were spending like crazy, right? And then like 2020, 2021, even 2022, people still had this money, this income that the government was giving us, or at least some of us, I don't know. And so people were spending that money. And now, I know we've all kind of felt that like shift in the economy lately, right? Like it's kind of feels a little harder to get clients and, you know, but my point here is that we have been doing so much pivoting and being so flexible. Like the people who have stuck with it, like I know there's people who closed their doors during COVID and probably never opened. I'm seeing photographers close their studio doors even now, but it's not that we can't succeed in the photography industry right now. It's that we are just having to pivot so frequently and so drastically. What do you have anything to add to that, like from your wedding point of view?
Yeah, totally. And I think it's just a huge shift in just like, honestly, the world, like, yes, our industry, but just the world too. But then you think of it in our industry, it's almost like what used to work isn't working anymore. And that's one of those things where honestly, that excites me. I love that type of challenge because it's like, okay, this just means that we need to make a shift in our marketing. We need to make a shift in our value perception, our, you know, our brand, our copy, our messaging, the way that we are showing up and the way that we are marketing, you know what I mean? And how we're marketing. And that makes me really excited because I'm like, we just have to shift up and change our marketing strategies, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of like scary whenever you're just starting, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but you know, talking to, there are still going to be people who want these photos, right? They're going to be there with those premium clients are always going to keep coming.
Yep. They're always there. People are always going to be getting married. It's going to be something that, you know, that's one thing I feel fortunate about is that of all the wedding vendors of a wedding, I feel like photography is the last one to get like axed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people want the photos, they want the memories. Yeah. So I do feel like very grateful that and confident that they will be there, you know? Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might just, we just have to kind of pivot with the way we're talking to people.
Yep,
and that like, it is kind of exciting. You're like, we've been doing the same way for a long time. It's time to shake it up.
Yep. Yep. And it's just a matter of making changes maybe in your brand and creating more brand loyalty, having better like service expectations and what that looks like, having better quality, that type of thing. Overall, just value perception. That's like the biggest thing when it comes to like premium clients too, is like low budget clients, like they tend to focus on like a price value ratio. Like, you know, what am I getting? Like the deliverables, that type of thing. Like, what am I actually getting tangible deliverables from this? Whereas premium clients are more so like they're looking at a desired outcome. They're focusing on the overall value that they receive from that service. They're looking at the outcome of the feeling that they're providing. So they, like premium clients, like they don't get so hung up in like, oh, you're here for 7 hours, you're here for 8 hours. I get an album, I get this. And it's funny too, because I feel like it tends to happen where lower budget clients tend to come back with the most like changes, the most requests, all of that stuff, because you're so focused on price point. You're so focused on deliverables and you're so focused on what's included in the package versus speaking to the desired outcome, the emotional side, the value. That's what people are just going, like more premium clients are going to be like, well, that's what we got. That's what we felt. That's what we received. Mm-hmm. They're going to be happy about it with less requests.
Yeah. I like to say you're solving a problem for every client. And I know it's kind of weird thinking about solving a problem for a photography client, but you are solving a problem, whether, you know, like if you're a family photographer and it's that mom thinks her kids are too crazy and that you're not going to get anything good. The problem that I solve is that I can get photos of any crazy kid. In fact, I get photos better of crazy kids, and I'm going to make your kids crazy and you're going to love the photos. Like, just like knowing that special thing that you do for clients that maybe no one else does like you is really going to set you apart. So Rachel, we talked about a lot of goodness in here. Can you like recap it in like a paragraph?
Yes. Just overall premium clients. It's basically, you know, someone who is going to be able to want to invest in a higher quality service, and your premium client can look completely different. Like everyone has a different premium client. Three mistakes that people are making is you're marketing in the wrong place, you're not offering custom proposals, and you're not speaking to those three buyer types. Looking at the premium client pyramid of not just stopping at social media, but completing all the things, the branding, the copy, the messaging, the website, and the client connection.
That's perfect. And then one last thing I want to ask you, what are you juggling in your life right now? Like what all are the things that your balls you're juggling?
All the things. I am mother to two. So my youngest just turned one and my oldest just turned three. So I've got two little kiddos at home. I love it. I run like my photography business. I run a team of associates. I run a podcast. I have a YouTube channel. I do business coaching. So I'm a photography business coach, do the podcast. There's lots of things going on in my business wise. And then juggling two little babies too, because they're at like the most special age right now. I just want to bottle up life right now with them, the chaos and all. I want to bottle it up because I like already missed this phase, this stage of life.
You're in it, but you already miss it. Like I'm just out of it. And I'm like, I miss it, but I really enjoy, like, there's these moments that happen that I'm like, I can breathe. Like I can breathe in a way that I have not been able to breathe for 10 years.
Yeah, I can relate to that too. That's probably going to feel like nice to have that too.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But also like, you know, enjoy those moments, but at the same time, you know, look back and enjoy them too.
Yeah, exactly. There's beauty in every season.
Exactly. Where can people connect with you? Where can they find you? What else do you have to tell us that we need to know?
Yes, we'd love it. You can find me on Instagram at Rachel Traxler, and my website is racheltraxler.com. Most of my stuff is on there. I've got tons and tons and tons of free resources, free education, lots. My podcast, the Gold Biz Podcast, I do a lot on there as well. And from there, you can probably just find everything you need on there, and it will funnel you to the you need to go. You best believe.
Yep. Rachel, thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your knowledge with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.